Praise the Lord. This is Minister Dawn Richards, and today I want to talk to you about new beginnings. You know, new beginnings are basic and integral parts of our lives. However, sometimes as human beings, we seem to have a harder time embracing the new and letting go of the past. So this message is going to challenge you. I hope it's going to inspire you. And it's going to put you on the path to beginning to discover and perceive and receive all the new beginnings that God has for you. You know, it doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God even. Whether you are relatively new in your walk with the Lord or, as some like to say, seasoned in your walk of faith. God still has new beginnings for you. Yes, He does. Glory be to God. And so as we get into this teaching and as we begin to look at what the scripture has to say, you're going to be left with a decision. And that decision is going to be, am I going to embrace the new beginnings that God has for my life? And I believe the answer to that question is yes, because who wouldn't want more of what God has in store for them? I know I do. I know God has been so gracious and He's always doing amazing things in my life, but I know He has so much more. And I know that there are things that can hinder what God wants to do in my life. And we're going to look at that because we want to be in a position to give God free rein to move in our lives, to take us forward, to free us from things that have held us back in the past, perhaps. But we have some instructions from the Lord that we're going to have to embrace and take heed to. And as we intertwine it all together, the result is going to be more of the evident power and moving of God in our lives. And that's something that I think we all can be excited about. Glory be to God. And you know, I started it off by saying that new beginnings are really a basic part of life. If you look at the changing of the seasons, if you even look at a corporation and how it has a new fiscal year every year to mark a new chapter in that corporation's history, then you ought to understand that that is how the cycle of life works. But of course, as human beings, we, of course, don't always embrace it that way. And it's difficult at times for people to let go of the past. But the past is nowhere for us to live. The past is reserved for just that, the past. So God advises us, therefore, to forget the past. You know, when He's ready to do a new thing in our lives and He's ready to move us forward, He wants us to forget the past so that we can be in that moment and ready to receive what He has for us. If we have a yesterday mindset, it can rob us of what God has for us today. You know, for instance, let's just take an example, a very practical example. Perhaps maybe you have been working on your job for a while and you want a promotion. There's a promotion to be had. You know, there's new levels for you to attain and to achieve in that particular job path. But the last time you decided that you were going to step out in faith and you were going to trust God and you were going to go for it, the job didn't go to you. It went to someone else, maybe someone who wasn't even as qualified, perhaps, or maybe there were politics involved. Whatever the scenario, you didn't go away with what you desired or what you hoped for and what you believe for. So that deposits probably some disappointment in your heart, right? And maybe even a sense of failure or self-disappointment, however you would like to see it. And so as a result, when the time comes again and the opportunity presents itself again, if you are still hung up on that, oh, it didn't work last time. Oh, I already tried that and it didn't work for me. Or, well, I asked God for that before and He didn't come through for me. If you allow those things to become barriers and if you dwell there, then you're never going to be in a position to seize and to lay hold and to enjoy what God has for you in the now. God is a God of the now. God is a God of new beginnings. Glory be to God. And so that's why the past and dwelling in the past, and even if it's a good thing, sometimes dwelling on good things that have happened in our past, not just the bad, but I think that can be more crippling. But even sometimes when we have reached a measure of success in a certain area of our lives, and we can just tend to become complacent and get in a little lull and plateau at that place when God is saying, hey, I got you here, but I can take you further and I want to take you further. Those are the reasons that he tells us throughout the scripture, and we're going to look at it, to forget the past. He says, forget it. Don't remember it. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about the failures, the disappointments, the mistakes, the loose ends, whatever it is, let it go so we can move ahead. Now, let's go to the scripture and go with me to Isaiah 43, Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to look at a very clear and concise directive of what I've just summarized in the first few moments. We're going to look at God's heart for us and what he has and what he wants to do for us, but we're going to look at the prerequisites. So let's go to Isaiah 43, and when you're there, go to verse 18. I'm going to read out of the New International Version translation first. And in Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." So this is God talking, and it can't get any clearer than that. He said, "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Don't fix your mind on it. Don't turn it over and over again. Don't be crippled by it. Don't let it define you. Let it go. See, I am doing a new thing. Here it is, the new beginning, the new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." And that was verse 18 and verse 19 in Isaiah 43. So God couldn't be any clearer here. He's advising us very clearly and directly to let go of what lies behind us, to forget the past, and to open ourselves up, to ready our hearts, to ready our minds, to place our focus on the new thing that he is doing even now in our lives, glory be to God, and that he wants to do as we continue to go forward. That's why the past is no place for us to be, glory to God, because we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss what God has for us. I mean, he's gracious and he's merciful and he'll keep bringing it around. He'll keep working with us, but it's great to get it on the first wave, hallelujah, because the quicker we get it on the first wave, the sooner we can move to the second wave and the third wave of his glory and his greatness and his goodness that he wants to pour out on our lives. Now, I want to share that with you out of the Message translation. I love this. And this is Isaiah 43 still. And the Message translation in verse 18 says, "Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history." Oh my gosh, is that not great? It says, "Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands." So God here is telling us, I don't want you to keep going over that old history. You know, maybe you had a relationship that didn't work out and, you know, you've carried the hurt of that or the insecurity of that. And it's old history. And in essence, really, it's baggage. You know, all the stuff, the disappointments, the mistakes, the bad choices, the, you know, failures. And again, sometimes even success. It represents baggage in our lives, and we carry it around and in our minds, and that's where we store it. You know I have a special place in my home for my luggage. I don't just keep my luggage out in the open. When I need it, I retrieve it and I use it, and then when I return and I'm home and I'm settled, I put it away until the next time I need it. And God is saying, I don't want you carrying around that baggage with you every day. I don't want it. Every time something comes up before you that I'm calling you to, maybe I'm calling you to stretch in your job, or I'm calling you to go up higher in your relationships or in your marriage or in how you parent your children or what I want you to do at your church or in the ministry or in your neighborhood or in your community, with your health, whatever it may be, where God is pulling us ahead and he's bringing us forward into better things. He doesn't want us to be captive and held captive by the past and by the old history. And if you're honest, if you really think about it and you think about different times in your life where God has been calling you forward or speaking to you about something or presenting an opportunity to you and you've maybe shrunk back from it or you haven't really embraced it fully, it's probably because of something that happened in your past that said, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I'm afraid, God. But the last time I tried, and remember when? God is saying, no. I don't want to remember when. I know that. I was there. I saw it. I witnessed it all. But my child, we're talking about today. You know, I've heard this saying before, and I think it's a cute saying, but I think there is a lot of truth in it. It says, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. You know, presents equal gifts. And God gives us a gift every morning, every day that we are blessed to wake up and open our eyes and embrace and live our lives. We have been given a gift by God, and He doesn't want us to squander it by living in the past. Who hurt me? Who said what to me? What didn't work out? What didn't go my way? What I thought was going to happen? What I wanted to happen that didn't happen? Or, wow, you know what? I've done it all. I've seen it all. Man, I'm rocking. I got it. I got this. No, you don't. God has more. Glory to God. And even if you don't want it for yourself, God can use you to bless others. Maybe you are at a place where you have whatever it is you need and desire in this life. And so now, does that mean you just turn it off? You turn off your faith? You go into hiding, so to speak? No, you keep yourself open to God so He can now flow things through you to others that don't have what you have or need what you have. And you can be in a position to be a greater blessing and to be used by God that much more greatly. Hallelujah. So I want us to now go to the New Testament, and we're going to see God saying the same thing. We're going to see that He is serious about what it is that we have to do. We have to forget the past. So I hope this is sticking. This is a very simple teaching, but it's profound because when we embrace it in its fullness and we really begin to challenge ourselves, then we are going to perceive and begin to walk in some really awesome things and some higher levels and some new things and greater things and better things and more glorious things that God has for us. Hallelujah. He would have never said it if He didn't have intentions on making it good in our lives. God doesn't talk just to hear Himself talk. He's the most purposeful being there is. And when He puts something in His promise, He's already backed it with His full integrity, with His blood, the shed blood of Jesus, and He's ready for us to receive it so He can move and bring it to pass in our lives. So I want us to go now to Philippians chapter 3. Go with me now to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to see what the Apostle Paul and the revelation that he received on this. And you know, speaking of baggage, if there was anyone that had reason to carry around baggage and be bound by his past and just be totally down for the count, if you will, as it relates to what God wanted to do with his life, I think the Apostle Paul probably ranks at the top of that list. Because if you remember, God arrested Paul in the midst of him persecuting the church. His encounter with Jesus was a direct confrontation of him persecuting, and not only persecuting, but persecuting to death, actually being responsible for believers dying, killing faithful believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, persecuting the church because of his, unfortunately, he had zeal, but it was not after the knowledge of God. He was a zealous believer, but he was believing the wrong thing. And so he did some things, some very bad things that I'm sure weighed on him heavily. You know, he even said of himself, you know, I am an apostle, least, you know, the least of these. And that's a lot when God is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I'm using you as my vessel to go to the Gentiles, and you're going to convert the Gentiles and you're going to bring them into this new covenant that I've established. and you're going to teach them about my grace and about salvation and about my love. Who, me, God? The one who was Saul, the persecutor of the church? But God changed all that. Not only did he get a new name, but he became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he received his calling. And this was very key. We're going to see a big part of what allowed him to do that, what allowed him to write over 2/3 of the New Testament and be one of the greatest apostles that ever walked the face of the earth. Hallelujah. I can't wait to meet him when I get to heaven. Here we are, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. And this is Paul speaking. And he's talking to the church at Philippi. And he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." So he's about to tell us the one thing that he gives his all to. He says, you know what? I may not have mastered it all. I don't claim to have it all down. I haven't reached perfection yet, but this is one thing that I absolutely give my all to. He says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Glory be to God. Paul understood the only way he could hope to do what God had called him to do, the only way he could hope to fulfill his will and God's will in the earth, and to be all that God had called him to be, and to help people and to liberate people and to bring people into the light of the truth, was to forget the past. And if that was God's prescription in the old covenant, and if it was his prescription in the beginning of the new covenant, then it's still his prescription today. We have to forget the past. We have to be willing to let it go. And notice that Paul, he said he had to press to do it. So it's not like it's something that's necessarily easy. You know, the enemy is not going to let up. The devil's not going to just roll over just because you say, "Get out of here, devil." You know, you're going to have to put some oomph into it. You're going to have to exercise some spiritual fortitude, some stick-with-itness, some patience, and be forgiving with yourself when you find yourself going back to those old thoughts, those old ways of thinking, which leads you into, you know, unfruitful patterns in your life. But God is there to help you. The Holy Ghost is with you to strengthen you, to enable you. And when you make a decision, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, that will propel you forward. That's the first step. So Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, there's a prize. There is a reward involved with the new beginnings that God wants to initiate in our lives. Each new year, each new day, each minute, each second and moment represents a new beginning. It's a gift to begin again. And I so love that God chose to punctuate this thing that we know is time. He didn't have to. He didn't have to give us time as we know it. He didn't have to punctuate it with years and months and seasons and days and nights. He could have just let it drift in infinity. But I believe it was a part of his graciousness to us, once again, to give us a gift to begin again. Because you know what? You could have the worst day ever and you could go to bed that night. But when you wake up the next morning, you have a new start. You have a fresh start to learn from the lessons of the day before and to do better and to purpose to be better than you were before and to seek God more and to hear from God more and to love God more, to follow God more, to love your family more, to be better on your job, to increase yourself in whatever way that is meaningful for you in that moment. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. Every day is a new beginning. So, you know, the scripture says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And a part of that joy is the fact that God has given you another opportunity, another chance to get it right and to know him and to walk with him and to love him and to receive from him, to receive his love for you, to know that your Father loves you, that he's not judging you. He's not condemning you. He's not down on you. He's not mad with you, but he's madly in love with you. Glory be to God. The scripture even tells us in Lamentations 3 that He gives us new mercies and compassions every morning. Now, that doesn't sound like a God to me that's not interested in new beginnings. That doesn't sound like a God that said, you know what? I'm giving you one shot. And if you blow it, that's it. No, that's not the God we serve. The God we serve says, I give you new mercies. You get a fresh set of mercies every day. So if you blow it at 11:59 p.m., when 12 a.m. strikes on that clock, you can claim your new mercies for that moment. And all throughout the day, you can thank God for the mercies He's given you, for your failures, for your shortcomings, for your quick temper, for your lack of patience, for your lack of integrity, for, laziness, whatever it may be, because we all have our temptations that come up. And then you can begin to go in stride with what God is calling you to. And you can say, okay, you know what? This is a new day. Today, I'm going to put myself in the Word of God. I'm going to put myself before God. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to let Him fill me so that I'm ready for the day ahead. And as I face the day, whatever it brings, good, bad, indifferent, I know God is with me and He's going to help me and I'm never forsaken. And that's how you live that overcoming life. And that's when God can continue to flow more and more of what He has for you into your life. Glory be to God. And I even think about the fact that God's dream, the reason all this got started in Genesis, was because God wanted a family. He wanted a family to love. That's why He created us. He didn't create us as robots with no will. He didn't want that. He didn't want something that worshiped Him just because. He wanted us to worship Him because we desire to worship Him. That's why we have free wills. We're free moral agents. We can choose to love God or we can choose to reject God. And obviously there are consequences associated with both choices. But God wanted a family. And so when He created His family, beginning with Adam and Eve, He knew what was going to happen. He knew ultimately that they would fall, that the enemy would deceive Eve, that Adam would bow his knee to Satan and turn over what God had given to him in this earth. And you know, if God didn't close up shop on Adam, I mean, think about it. He's the reason we got in this mess in the first place. If God didn't just fold it up and say, you know what, I'm closing up shop, I'm done. This wasn't a good idea. Nah, what was I thinking? You know, forget these humans. That's a wrap. If He didn't do that then in the Garden of Eden, He's definitely not going to do that to you today. No, what did He do? He immediately came up with His plan of redemption, of how He would win His man back and bring us back into that union with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and through His sacrifice. Glory to God. He gave the children of Israel fresh manna every morning. Child of God, what I'm endeavoring to hone in your heart and in your mind is that God is the God of new beginnings. And wherever you are in your life today, however great it may be, or however ungreat it may be in your opinion, it's not over. There is more. So where does the new beginning start with God? How do these things start? Well, when Christ enters the life, He comes to initiate new beginnings. And He begins with your very nature, and He transforms you into a new creature, and I like to say with new features, that has never existed before. You know, the scripture tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We won't turn there, but it does say to us there that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation that's never existed before. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. New. Hear that. So God is no longer looking at you through your past, but He forever sees you through the blood of Jesus and its perfection. And now you must begin to embrace the new that God has done in you. He comes to fulfill new beginnings in you, and that's where it begins. And then once he does that, he initiates new beginning after new beginning after new beginning in our lives. So he sees you as perfect. He has made it that way through the blood of Jesus. He gives you the gift of life daily so that you can embrace the new things that he has for you. But you know what? There's a key issue. Once the new beginning begins in us, and he begins to initiate new beginning after new beginning in our lives, as we begin to walk with him and understand what it means to be in Christ, as we renew our minds daily with the Word of God, because that's a lifetime commitment. You'll never stop doing that. As long as you're in the earth, you'll have to renew your mind, because we have an enemy, we have a soul, we have all those things that can pull us back if we're not constantly pressing, as Paul said, to lay hold of the mark of the high calling of the prize that God has laid up for us in Christ Jesus. So we have to come to the key issue, and that is, according to Isaiah 43:19, do you perceive it? You know, I can tell you all day that God is a God of new beginnings, and I can share with you examples in the Word and even maybe in my own life about new beginnings that God wants to initiate and that he has done. But if you're not going to perceive it, then you'll never receive it. And the only way to truly receive something is to first recognize or perceive that it's there. And the way to perceive the new thing that God is doing, because he's always doing a new thing. He said it himself. He said, even now I am doing a new thing. Don't you see it? Glory to God. And so the way that we're going to perceive it, guess what? If you've been listening, you probably already know. It's to forget the past and to focus on the Lord and his plan for you right now. And you know what? Once you release your faith and you determine to do that, if you don't yet perceive the new thing that God is doing in your life, if you haven't really sensed God dealing with you in an area or calling you to something new or higher or challenging you or stretching you, as I like to say, then just make a decision to embrace it by faith anyway. I mean, so many of the men and women of faith that we study in the Word of God had to do that exact thing. God called them to follow him, to do great things, and it wasn't convenient all the time. It wasn't easy. And a lot of times they had no clue as to what was going to come next. They just knew to take that first step, and they trusted that God would show them the next step. And that's how it is with us. That's typically how God works. He doesn't usually show us A to Z in one fell swoop, because he wants us to trust him. And a lot of times I think if he did show it to us, we'd be so overcome, we wouldn't even have the strength to start. So he gives it to us bit by bit, as good parents do. But just think about Abraham, for instance. You know, over in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, God called Abraham. He was Abram at the time. He told him, he said, I want you to leave your father's house, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Abraham didn't know where he was going. God said, I'm going to show you where to go, but first I need you to get up out of here. I need you to pack up. I need you to get your family, and then I need you to be out. As we say in this modern day vernacular, I'm calling you, Abraham, to a new life. I want you to forget the past, forget the customs of your people, forget all of that, because Abraham wasn't a worshiper of the Lord before he met God. He worshiped the moon. He was a part of the Chaldeans, who ultimately would become the Babylonians. That would be the area of Babylon. And God was calling him to be the father of faith. And so don't you know, he had to step out and be willing to let go of his past in order to embrace and lay hold of this new thing that God had for him. You know, he couldn't keep one foot over here and go to that new land that God had for him. He had to let it go. But he did, and I'm so glad he did. Glory to God, because look at what God was able to do in his life as a result. Look at Sarah, his wife, barren her entire life, And then at the ripe old age of 90, God decides to give her the promised child, Isaac. Now, the Bible gives some insight into Sarah, and it shares that when God came to her in her upper years and told her, around this time next year, you're going to have a child, she actually laughed. And I don't know if she was laughing because she was overjoyed. I think the Bible kind of more so seems to give the persuasion that she was laughing in unbelief. Like, really? Ha ha, yeah, right, God. That's funny. You know, I'm already an old woman. I have never had a baby. And you're telling me, okay, I'm going to have one next year. Okay, right. But obviously, somewhere in between that time, her faith latched on. And even Abraham by that time was sterile. I mean, he'd had Ishmael with Hagar, and that was out of the will of God. But now, once again, God was bringing a new beginning. Even though they had that little plan that they crafted to try to make God's promise come to pass, which wasn't God's will, God didn't leave them over there. He didn't say, okay, you know what? I thought you were going to do what I asked you to do. You went over here and you tried to come up with your own plan of how you were going to get the promised seed. Didn't work, so I'm done. God didn't do that. No, in fact, he came back and he granted them that promised child between Abraham and Sarah, the way it should have been all along. And we can look at many other examples. Ruth. Oh, I love Ruth. Here she was, a Moabitess. She marries a Hebrew. She marries a Jew, an Israelite. She loves him. He passes away. And her mother-in-law, her only tie to him, is leaving Moab and going back to her home country. And instead of Ruth staying with her own people, she goes forward to the new that God is calling her to. I have to believe that there was something God put in her heart to cause her to have the faith and the courage to go with Naomi back to Israel. Because if you notice, the other sister-in-law and the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, she stayed. She didn't go with Naomi, but Ruth did. And how rewarded was she to ultimately be in the lineage of Jesus? Hallelujah. God not only gave her a new husband when she got there, who happened to be wealthy and influential, but he gave her a child. Ruth had never had a child. By all accounts, she was considered barren. She'd been married for 10 years with no child. That's, by all accounts, barren. But God is the God of life, and he can reverse any situation. It doesn't matter what the past says or what your track record has been to date. When God gets involved, he can make anything happen. He's the God of miracles and wonders. And he blessed her with a baby. And she became a part of the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Mary, Jesus' mother. Here was a young girl, a teenager by all accounts. And God sent an angel to appear to her and tell her, guess what? You're going to have a son. You're going to have a holy child. And my Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to conceive. Oh my. Talk about embracing the new. And there's Peter. After he denied Jesus, his heart was broken. He could have hung himself just like Judas, but he chose to embrace the forgiveness and the love that Jesus extended to him after he was raised from the dead. And he went on to become the father of the church, of the modern church. And then we've looked at Paul, who was formerly Saul. And there's so many more. If you go through the scripture, there are countless examples of men and women of God who've been challenged and who God has said, you know what, I have something better for you. And I'm calling you to this place. And I want you to come. I want you to receive it. That's the same thing that he wants for you and me. And we have the same courage. In fact, we're even more empowered because we now have the Holy Ghost living in us. Many of them, especially in the Old Covenant, they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we have the Spirit of God himself in us to lead and guide us into all truth and to show us things to come. Hallelujah. So go ahead, as I said, and make a decision to receive it by faith if you don't yet perceive it. And so that's going to require a quality decision. You know, if you, now that you do know that God is desiring to do new and fresh and greater and deeper and more glorious things in, through, for, and around you, make the quality decision to obey the call. Take heed to it. You know, I think that one of the translations of that scripture in Isaiah 43 actually said that. It said to take heed to it. You know, don't just let it be another word that you hear and you file away. Oh, that was a good teaching. I enjoyed that. But don't do anything about it, or don't really hear the call of God to you at this time. No, take heed to it. Open yourself up. Glory to God. And with the Holy Spirit's help, not in your own strength, not by your willpower, but with his love and his help, begin to release the past. Let the hurts go. Let the failures go, the hang-ups, the disappointments. Even as I mentioned, the successes or anything else that would attempt to keep you from pressing ahead into God's best for you now. Make a quality decision. What do I mean by that? You're saying, okay, I keep hearing you say quality decision, but what are you talking about? A quality decision is a decision from which there is no retreat. It means I'm drawing a line in the sand, and this is where I stand on this. And once you make that quality decision, you're not going to turn away from it. You're deciding, I'm opening my life. I'm opening my ministry, my family, my career, my relationships, my finances, and whatever else it may be, to God like never before. Hallelujah. And it's just that simple. Everything starts with a decision. You being saved started with a decision to give your heart and your life to Jesus. And this is no different. And the new thing that God is doing in your life is a better, more anointed thing. It's not going to be something that you would run from or that you would have to fear. No, it's going to be better. It's going to be more anointed, more glorious. Your life is going to be better and have more of God's evident power as a result of the new beginnings that he initiates. You can expect a way to be made for you in your desert or the dry heart places in your life, and streams to flow in your wasteland, causing fruitfulness to abound in you and around you. So begin to ask yourself, what are some of the new things, the new beginnings that I can carry forward now in this new year, in this new day, in this new month, in this moment, in this very moment? You know, maybe there's some room for a new attitude or some new expectancy. Maybe you just haven't been expecting very much from God, and you've just kind of gotten into a lull of, oh, well, this is how things are. This is how things will always be. No, it won't. Open yourself up to perceive, to recognize, and to receive the new things that God is doing. Because he said he's doing them. So now you can go before him and say, Lord, I see in your word that you're doing new things for me, that your will is to initiate new beginnings in my life, and I'm ready. Maybe there are some relationships where they need a new touch, or you're ready for some new things to happen, some new levels of intimacy, or some new levels of commitment, or whatever it may be. Maybe you need or have some new goals that you want to set and see fulfilled and accomplished in your life. Yes, there's more for you. Glory to God. There is more for you in this life, and God is ready to serve it up. So embrace the wonderful new beginnings that are a part of life in Christ. And I believe, along with that quality decision, the true place to start is in prayer. I believe that's where we should always start. We start in prayer. which is simply communing with God, offering Him ourselves, opening ourselves for Him to speak to us, because prayer is a dialogue, it's not a monologue. So as we pour ourselves out to God and pour our hearts out to God, in return, we want to give Him opportunities to speak and to lead us and to guide us. It may not happen in that very setting, in that very moment, but as you keep your heart open to God and you stay prayerful just in your inner heart, it doesn't always mean just one isolated prayer moment. Yes, you start there, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But beyond that initial prayer of commitment and opening yourself and embracing by faith all that God has for you, you want to keep it alive in your heart by just throughout your day, you know, to yourself. Maybe you are in a place where you can't pray out loud. That's totally fine. You know, just in your heart, meditating on the good things that God has promised you in the Word and keeping a gauge on your expectancy. Am I really expecting God to do great things for me, or am I still here over in this other place? Being mindful and watchful and taking heed, like we talked about, to your spirit. What's going on inside of you? You know, you got to keep a gauge on that. Nobody else can do it for you because nobody else is in you. But you can. And you keep a gauge on it. And when you see something, you know, the enemy trying to slip something in from the past to discourage you or to hinder you, then that's when you rise up in boldness and you throw it off and you say, oh no, in the name of Jesus, I press forward. I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for my life. And I will not be hindered. And the Holy Spirit will empower you and He'll help you. Glory be to God. And I'm so excited because I can only imagine all the great things that are going to begin to unfold in your life. You know, the scripture says that eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's you. You love God. I know you do. And more and more and more importantly, God loves you. In fact, the scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. So God loves you. That's why He wants to do these things in your life. That's why He's giving you His promise. So now we're going to start in prayer. And this is just a simple prayer that God put on my heart. But you know what? You can come up with whatever it is that God gives you. So I'm going to pray this. And as you listen to this message, you can listen to it. I encourage you to listen to it over and over again. Let it permeate your spirit. Really meditate on these verses and begin to boost your expectancy for what God has for you. Begin to diligently do the work by faith to let go of the past. Don't let it take up residency in your thought life. Don't let it cripple you, and don't bring it into consideration when you have something that God is putting before you. Maybe God is calling you to forgive someone, and the only thing that keeps coming up is how they hurt you. Well, that's going to paralyze you. That's going to stifle you. You're not going to have the courage to forgive if you're afraid that you're going to be hurt again. Maybe you will be hurt again, but you know what? God is there to soothe you, and He's greater than any hurt that the enemy could try to bring to you through another person or another situation. So just trust God. At the end of the day, it really is all about trusting God and just knowing, my life, Lord, is in Your hands. My future is in Your hands, and it's gloriously bright. Hallelujah. So here we say, Heavenly Father, thank You for blessing me to see another day in the land of the living, a true sign of the new mercies and goodness You have destined for me. I ask You to open my eyes that they might see, my ears that they might hear, and my heart that it will perceive and recognize all the new and wonderful things You're doing and will continue to do in and around me. I yield myself to You afresh and anew, and trust Your Holy Spirit to guide me each step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I thank you for listening. I trust that this word has been a blessing to your life, that you've received things from God that will cause you to have a closer walk with Him and a more fruitful walk with Him. And so your life will be abundantly blessed to the glory of God. God bless you, and thank you for listening.